Welcome to the Frampath Consulting Podcast. I'm Sam Schweitzer, and I am really excited for today's episode because a lot of the conversations that I have to have and every consultant on our team has to have revolve around, is franchising the right fit for you? And most of the content that we deliver on this podcast is franchise brands that are in our inventory that we're working with that we're so proud to have as partners, or it's franchisees that we've placed where franchising was truly the right fit for them. But before they ever make it to that place, before they ever get there, we have a lot of conversations that consist of, is this the right fit? Is business ownership the right fit? And then is franchise ownership the right fit? Because our job is not to make new franchisees left, right, and sideways. It's to help our clients get to yes or no, is this the right path for them? If the answer is yes, then finding businesses that identify with how much money they need to make it worth their time, how many hours a week they truly have to dedicate to a business. And then last but certainly not least, what speaks to their soul? What verticals do they want to get involved with? Is it kids? Is it pets? Is it B2B services? Is it beauty? What really moves the needle for them? But over the course of time, we work with a ton of clients that decide, actually, I don't think it is right for me. And sometimes it's timing, and sometimes we don't have the exact thing that they think they want to do. And then other times it might be that franchising just doesn't suit what they're looking to do. And I think it's important to identify that, because if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, am I feeling a type of way? Am I right in my assumption that maybe this is something I would want to go create on my own? You could be right. And we tell clients all the time, if you are a nurse and you want to start an IV med spa, maybe you can do that on your own. If you are in IT and you want to start a B2B IT tech services business, do you really need a franchise to get that started? It is already your wheelhouse. It is already your area of expertise. So for the first time since we've started this podcast, I am bringing on a person that is no longer related to the franchise space, that has never been in the franchise space, who is one of my very best friends, also was a client of mine briefly. It is my pleasure to introduce Anna Thompson, founder, owner, CEO of Grand Noir Salon, and one of my great friends. Thanks for joining me, Anna.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, and I'll kind of give everybody, if you don't mind, a little bit of our background together, and then I'll have you share your business background. So Anna and I go back almost 15 years, yeah, 15 years probably, which is crazy since we're only 18 now. It seems weird to say we're actually business professionals that long ago, but we go back that far, and we were both working in retail together, and Anna had just completed hair school, was working at a hair salon in the mall, and I was working at a retail clothing store, and I had just kind of recruited her, and she didn't like working in a mall hair salon. And she worked with me and was kind of one of those salespeople that I think she was great at sales because she was honest. She'd be like, that does not look good on you. Let me grab something that does. That's a horrible idea. You're wearing that on a date. And I would be like, Anna, bye. That translated very well into what you do in your career now as a stylist and also a leader of your own, really, I mean, even a 10-chair salon that you just opened, which is fantastic. And it probably won't shock you that she did leave retail, as did I, and she went back into the hair space, which I think is truly your calling. You've also been my hairstylist for the last 14 years since you went back to hair. And I think I talk about a lot about how great it is to have somebody you just love, trust, and respect, and is your good friend to be able to do those things with. And we've opened businesses at the same time, which has also been awesome to then be able to lean on each other in that capacity as well. But Anna, I'd love for you to just kind of share with our audience your evolution from stylist to going into a salon suite model and then opening your own business. If you could just kind of walk everybody through your evolution as a business owner, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that is great. I actually, when you said that, I actually forgot that I worked. Sometimes I forget that I worked inside of a mall instead of a salon in the mall. I'm always like, oh yeah, that I did do that for a hot minute. I was like taken aback. I was like, yes, some of my story, I forget that. But yeah, I started at, I was actually going to actually college for a semester, and I figured this was probably not, like, I couldn't be here for 4 years. And so I had to try, like, choose another avenue. And I remember being in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and walking past the people doing hair. And I kind of just fell into it. I was like, hey, they look like they're having like a good time. And to go to school doesn't take that long. I should try it out. And if I don't love it, I could always go back to school and then still cut hair on the side. But I was actually in the business school, which is funny. And then I left, did hair, went to school. And the program I'm in went to actually isn't available anymore. I went to school nights for 2 years. So I worked all day long. And then I went to school from 4 to 9 for 2 years. So most people don't finish the program. I think we started with like 8 people and like 3 graduated because as most people think, cosmetology school might be like, oh, a breeze or super easy. Like they were very like cutthroat. Like if you missed more than 5 days in 2 years, you were out of the program. Like they did not mess around. And that included like you didn't get a lot of holiday breaks. Like you had to be there. And that was pretty awesome though, because I had a full client base at the start of working behind the chair as a student, because these people would leave work in a downtown business setting and they would come and get a hair appointment. So I had a clientele that was like already happening, and I didn't get lunch breaks then. there was no like working on a mannequin or doing like a mature woman, like perm set. Like I was working with real hands-on clients that came back every 8 weeks and really got to see people develop. So I was in that space, graduated, and then obviously we met shortly after, you know, the salon mall setting didn't work out, which that wasn't supposed to be a long term. I just was like, I need to do something. And then we met each other working retail, and my honesty has always come through in everything I do. So yes, the clothing, but I was like a top salesperson. I like killed it.
You were.
I feel like I'm still a terrible interviewer. I'm just kind of like, you get here. This is what you get, and you can take it or leave it. But I showed up on the set for that.
It's a huge part of your success, though, is just saying, this is what you get. This is who I am. If you don't like this, this is the package. Move on. Yeah. And I think it suited you 100%. In your career, I mean, how many times have I wanted to do something like cut bangs or dye my hair dark or cut 5 inches off my hair? And you've been like, we're not doing that. So you can go somewhere else. You can let somebody else mess your hair up, but you're not doing it here in these four walls.
So in my growth of getting older, I have a more gentler approach than I used to have. I used to be pretty rogue, but we met each other, and I still remember you being like, you sure you don't want new hair? Like, you sure you want to stay? You sure you want to stay with me in the retail space? And I'd be like, I mean, I spent a lot of money on this career. I think I better like go into doing hair. But we had fun. So it was, you know, fun to stick around and be in the retail space. And obviously you are my client, and actually we have clients that, you know, we used to shop for in retail space, and I still do their hair 15 years later, which is kind of crazy because in our industry, you just talk about how to get a new client. I'm like, no one's talking about how to keep a client for 15 years. It's actually way more work than getting a new client any day.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Especially with social media and the access, and just keep developing yourself, and you see someone else doing something cool or new. So you really have to stay, you know, in the world of beauty if you're going to be able to service people for years and years. And that takes more work than just trying to get one client walk through the door, you know?
I think that's business in general, though. I think if you don't keep up, if you don't evolve, you die. Mm-hmm. And I think that in any business, you know, that's something for us that we do for clients when we're vetting businesses, we look at not only what are they doing today, but what's their future plan? Because if they're like, yeah, we're really great at one thing and this is all we're going to ever do. Well, who knows? I mean, I look at like tanning beds. When I was in college, there was a tanning bed franchise on every corner. Now there's like one left in every market and they've evolved into other things and, you know, red light therapies and all saunas and all kinds of things inside of them to be able to keep up with today, because we all know you're not supposed to be doing that. So I think that is the way to do it, is you have to be able to evolve. You have to stay on top of things, or people go to other people who are.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what we talk about too. Like, we were talking about like stylists nowadays too, like being a creative person doing all this stuff, but you're still in the sales realm. Like, you're still, as much as hairdressers want to say that we're not, and we're just in, we're creative people. It's, we are, but you're selling yourself every day and staying relative and staying up on your social media. So people trust you and you build that connection. So they keep technically, quote, buying from you or seeing you. Is, we really are in the sales world. And I think that's kind of a misconception with even salon owners and the stylist side of like, I don't like sales, or I don't like, and I'm like, you sell yourself every day. You're selling your trust, your skills, everything. They're technically buying from you. And so I think we develop that a lot. And that's kind of how, you know, furthering in my career, I worked at a salon for 10 years. And saw that built and help. I actually help, you know, help somebody build their business, really. And stayed in that type of.
You were the first employee, right? You were the first stylist of that salon. Second? Okay.
She wanted me to first, but I am a loyal person. And I was like, I need to give my other place of employment at least 2 weeks. And they were like, no, just quit on the spot. And I'm like, that's just not who I am and will never be that person of integrity. So I didn't start when they wanted me to. So I was like their second person. I waited a little bit. But yeah, I learned a lot from that, a lot of lessons to be learned, good and bad. But I've always been in the leadership. Like, I've always wanted to own my own business. I've always kind of been like that. Even from when I was a kid, like, I literally had no fear. And I would, like, make braces. I would make anything. And I would, like, literally just go knock on people's doors. And I made, like, a whole stand. You probably don't even know this. I made a whole, like, cardboard stand. And I had these bracelets and necklaces off of it. And I would, like, go trekking and, like, selling these things to people and just knocking on their door. And I would always come home and, like, they'd be sold because I would be, like, like I would just sell them all. I always had this entrepreneurial spirit, and it wasn't like the lemonade stand. I'm like, I'm on foot. And that's how I was in the hair world. How I built my clients was on foot. Like, I was talking to somebody today, like, we were the generation of like hustle culture. Like, I will come and talk to you in the grocery store. You are going to be my client. You're going to come see me. I will talk to anyone. I'll approach anybody. I will build my business and hustle hard. And I think, you know, some of that's lost art and some of it is different ways people approach on social media, but I am very much old school in like, don't tell me no, and I'm going to make it happen. So as a child, I was very much in the business world already. And my parents did not like, I'm the youngest. So like, nobody was doing that. I was doing it and come home with like 20 bucks.
I was the youngest. Their parents are like, what neighbors did you rip off today? Don't worry, I went down the block. It wasn't direct neighbors.
I would remember where I was on foot before. I'm like, oh, we'll go over, you know, I'll choose a different direction this week. So yeah, I mean, I definitely had that in me. And I think, you know, I wouldn't change my path, but yeah, working for someone 10 years, I mean, I definitely can respect and look up to people that are my employers and my boss, and like learned a lot from that experience. So I worked behind the chair for 10 years in someone else's business. And then after the pandemic, basically it's like all is well, like I'll just take a risk on myself because the world's already like doing whatever, like I have no loss. So I kind of, that's my risk taker. I jumped ship in the pandemic, which most people are like job security. I'm holding on to everything. And I'm like, peace. I'm like, we'll just figure it out as we go. So I, went to a salon suite. So if people don't know, it's like renting basically like a box inside of a building, which I had no windows to the outside world. I literally was in a box, legit. What? How many square feet do you think that is? Like 200?
I mean, I think you probably had 250. I mean, you had a two chair, so you had one of the bigger salons that were, you had a two chair because you brought somebody with you eventually.
A year after we went in there. But I mean, too, it's like, you just make it what it is. You make the best of the situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, being in a box, I mean, you have to bring the culture, you have to bring the personality, like delivering a service and a business inside of a box in a closet is a whole, like, it's a lot of energy that you have to create the whole vibe and experience yourself too.
Well, especially because your clients followed you from a salon that it was massive, floor to ceiling windows, like
gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous salon, right? Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful salon. And so you said, I need you to like me enough that you're going to pay the same amount of money to be seeing me here in this
or
box.
More.
How many times did I tell you raise your prices? How many times do you think we've had that conversation? You could raise your prices.
I mean, it's all that. I mean, you'll even learn like business. I mean, that's all about relationships and connections. And it's like, if you can build that inside of there, it's like, it's truly your skill. And people will, I've had people like, I'll show up in a dark alley and be for you to do my hair. Like it's building the people, the connection, the business. It's not always about the aesthetic and what everything looks like, which I think a lot of people sometimes get caught up in, really. But I feel like delivering a service and creating that connection and bond with people is like, you know, that's what makes the business. It's the first, you know, like makes that just, it's you, right? It's you and the people that you bring to the team and people, the culture that you cultivate. And so it just, yeah. So yeah, we were in the box. I say the box because it really was. There's no window to the outside world. I wouldn't know if it's raining, storming. I don't know. Someone's like, I think there's a tornado. I'm like, I didn't know. I'm in my box out here. I mean, the electricity didn't work sometimes. It was like insane. So we were there. Then after a year, I had an employee. And then I was building out a salon space while working behind the chair. And that took about a year. So we were in the suite for 2 years and then opened a storefront salon and kind of general contracted the whole project, pulled licenses, things I've never done before, hired every subcontractor, you know, someone to do the floor, someone to do this electrical from gravel, dirt, no foundation up. So while working behind the chair and obviously probably couldn't have done it like with the support of my husband because I have a lot of kids. But then we opened that 7 months ago. And in 7 months, we now, I haven't said, but we hired another person. So we are a team of seven. I make eight because I still work behind the chair. So in 7 months, we have a team of eight. So.
Which is phenomenal. And when you say you project managed everything, I think people, you know, our franchise clients are getting a business in a box, right? And so they're going, okay, this is the floor. These are the mirrors. This is what you're putting on for those of them building out physical locations. Or if it's not a physical location, you're going, okay, here's the vehicle that you need. Then we're going to send it to you wrapped. It's fully built out. Here's your CRM. This, you don't have to choose any of this. Oh, here's your collateral pieces for all of your social media. So you just follow the protocol. We'll post for you on Postly or Hootsuite or however we operate here. Everything integrates. Let's go.
That sounds
so
nice.
And so it's like, yeah, right?
That sounds boom, divine. Boom, boom, boom.
And so when you and I first started talking about, you're like, I think I might want something adjacent to what I do or something that is, it seems like it would be a good idea to do something kind of in cohesion to what I'm doing over here that would be another revenue stream. You had just finished having a situation with your floors that were put in. And if anybody knows anything about salons, there's rolling carts that sit next to people. And Anna's floors were put in on a slant. And so all of their carts were rolling. And she basically had to talk to general contractors, the flooring people, and say, I don't know who's going to pay for this. I know who isn't going to pay for it. It's going to be me. But you're coming in and you're tearing up all of these floors because I'm not living with this for the 10-year lease that I have. You're going to fix this and we're going to get it done.
And most people thought I was crazy to even go down that road of like, let's tear it out.
Yeah.
I loaded everything into 25. When I say we, I mean my husband. well, I was there a little bit. But like we loaded everything into a 25-foot trailer in the middle of January in Wisconsin, and we got that done, and I wasn't going down. You know, I can be bendable. I can, things happen in the construction world. I can bend and move. And that was one, I'm standing firm that nobody is going to, I say, mansplain me in the beauty world, and especially as a woman in the beauty world. We're going to get this floors done right. So I closed my business for a full week, and we
got it done. Yeah, people. I mean, and I think I commend you for that, because it does, it takes guts to do that. And I think you were kind of in the midst of that. And so it sounded great to have somebody like a GC come in and like do everything for you. And so you looked at a brand that in all aspects would have been very cohesive to what you're doing. It would have given some of your stylists something else to do on the side, potentially, if they had interest. The client is very much the same in either brand. It's the same type of woman or man that would go there. And so I think that was kind of, it was all appealing. Yes. The planned out marketing, all of the brand guidance, there was nothing you had to make a decision on. Because the other thing that people don't talk about when you're opening a business is you get decision fatigue. What products, what, you know, especially physical locations, it's all of these different things. You need to get an LOI out before somebody takes that space out from under your nose. And then it's every decision is your decision from there forward. And so I think all of it was very appealing. The established real estate team that comes in on your behalf, the general contractor, here's the business in a box. We have all of this stuff just sewn up. And it was like, okay, well, this is exactly what I want, because I can't make all of these decisions and run my current business. But what you found out about yourself in the course of all of that and in the reflection on it was that maybe that wasn't actually what you wanted, that maybe you do like to have a hand in the creativity, and that maybe your vision wasn't exactly what that brand founder's vision was. And it's important to be able to look at it from that perspective. And franchising isn't for everyone. And
yeah,
so
I mean,
I think that was interesting.
Yeah, I definitely like, it's very appealing. And it wasn't, I like the creative element that I can put into my own business. But I mean, franchising is still not out of the question for me. I think at the right time would work well for me. I just, and it's like, it is so alluring, like, wow, to have someone do all these things for me is like, even now I'm like that, I want that, like social media. And mostly too, like the hardest thing about, besides the decisions you have to make, is you know that has been modeled and that works. And so it's like, there's no contemplating of like, is this going to work for me, or is it going to pan out well? When you're in charge of everything, it is a lot more weight on your shoulders. Where when you look at franchising, like, oh, you know, this works. This has been systematized. They've tested it. They've done a dry run. Like, you obviously have to put in the effort, but like, you know that this can work. And so I feel like franchising was super appealing in that way. And all of some of the other headaches that just go away with franchising seems very alluring. Like, you know, they have it all ready to go for you. And I don't think it's out of the question, but there was just some of the elements that I wanted to add to my business. But the most alluring part, I think when I think about the franchising, is not only that, you know, it's tested and measures and works, is systems is really hard to figure out. And it's like, I've been in the beauty world 15 years and still figuring out what systems to bring to your business and how to implement them correctly, that you know that they're going to work. And yes, business always changes. There's no like set in stone. Business always has to adapt and change. But the systems that they have in place that you know work is just really amazing. So I love that aspect of it, and all the little headaches. Like, it took me a year to build up my space. And obviously there's a lot more things that go in mind, but if you did a franchise, I mean, they do that and they know like all the things, and you're done pretty fast. Like, they know the people to pull, the permit, like everything is like ready to go. And so that's really awesome, right? There's so many like pros and cons to like things I like to control and things that are in the franchise that are always set up, and you're like, wow, I don't have to think. Sounds so nice. So like my business could have been built in, you know, some weeks. It would have been ready to go. So I think it's not out of the question. I just right now, I think I like some of the control over some of the elements, and I'm not really to delegate yet, but that's not, businesses don't grow unless you're willing to delegate. I think sometimes that's a problem, is like, you don't want to give up the control. Yeah. And so you kind of don't grow. You just like are in this bubble. I'm willing to grow when the time is right and I find the right people. And then I'm definitely willing to delegate because my brand doesn't stop here. I definitely have other ideas and things I want to open and grow. And so I have the right mindset of that. I just know right now with, you know, like I said, my business has been open 7 months and then my whole family, I'm like, not yet, but it's not a no, it's just not, it's a not yet. That's kind of where I'm at with that right now.
I love that. And I think the thing that we found too is something that you had so much knowledge and direct knowledge of that was so close to what you do. You had your own opinions on what would happen. You know, I think for me, like in pest control and parking lot line painting, I don't have the knowledge base. I don't have anything that I don't have a concern about that. I don't have an opinion on how that should be done. So it's not as big of a deal to me to delegate that out or to just trust brand copy and go, yeah, this is exactly, set it and forget it. This is what we do. When it's so much of your passion, I think then you do want to have like, I don't know if I like that just being black and white. I may want to add gold. Is that okay? No, it's not. Okay, well, I thought that would be great. But brand standards say it's black and white, no gold. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
some of that.
Our salon is next to a franchise. So I know, I remember when they were putting that together at the end, they're like, they can't get the sign off until the trim is an exact height, or like, this is an exact height. And so that was like interesting that I'm not stepping in the franchise world, but I'm next door to one. And it's really interesting. And they also own other franchises too. So I've been able to kind of like see how they move and how they do business and what that looks like, how often they're there, kind of all those things. And so that's kind of an interesting, as my salon is next to a franchise that's locally owned as well. So it's been kind of a cool element too.
I love that. And you know, Anna, we end this podcast with two questions for everyone on every single time. So I would love for you to answer these for us. First one is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
In anything or business or what?
Either or, whatever you want. Business, life, parent, being a parent, being a wife.
Should have prompted me on these.
I loved it. That's the ones we don't send.
Best piece of advice. What? Trust your gut. Trust your gut. You don't have to have a reason why. You don't have to validate it. You don't have to explain. I think direct intuition and gut feeling is something that's there for a reason. If it's life choices, business choices, I think pause, reflect, and whatever your gut's telling you, and you don't need to like have a reason why, usually that's enough. That's enough reason to know what move you should make next.
We say that so many times. I know Brittany, my business partner, and I will say, so much of what we've built is not on knowledge. Do we have knowledge of the space? Absolutely. But hiring decisions, things that we do, growth trajectories that we contemplate, so much of it comes down to a gut decision at the end. When you have all the data there, you still have to be able to trust your gut. I think that's great. That might be the first time I think we've gotten that even.
Really?
Which is crazy. In 100 and some episodes.
I think a lot of times the only thing I say is like, you don't have to validate it. I don't have to have a reason to feel that way. And I used to be like, oh, I need to come up with this reason. It makes sense. And I'm like, no, I just know because I know. And after I have the facts and I've thought through it all logistically and on a, you know, baseline, now I can make a decision based on what I feel gutly, usually is instinctually. Yeah. And sometimes I think that's just a gift you're given. So
I truly believe it is a gift. I think there are people that either never learn to trust their gut, or they learn to actively move away from what their instincts are telling them in order to do different things. And anytime I've ever gone against exactly what I thought would happen, I have learned in the path, and sometimes years later, sometimes minutes later, that it was a horrible choice. And mm-hmm. I think anytime I've my mind, my body, my gut has been, you know, in direct contention with something and I've gone in the opposite direction, it's just, it's proven that I think you just know what's best for you and in turn for your business at the end of the day.
At least for like good business people, where even if you do that decision though, you know what the next decision is. So it'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just pivot. Yeah. So always. Last question I have for you on the podcast today is, what is your personal compelling reason for being a business owner? Why do you do this? It's wild. It's crazy. It's the path of most resistance for a lot of people. Why do it? What keeps you coming back?
That's a good question. Two things. I mean, I've been open 7 months, so my first instinct of like doing business is obviously to show my kids of doing something different, of owning their own business. I think that's super powerful in this day and age of like teaching your kids there's other avenues to go down than just one career path, or, you know, just doing a job, or, and that's fine because there's some people that feel that way, but there's other things than you're taught in school that you can own a business and you can do this. And so showing them that, but also honestly for my industry, I just feel like, and we've talked about this, like the lack of respect for our industry, the things of that nature, is just kind of showing and setting standards for the beauty industry of what can be accomplished, that we're like smart, intelligent people, and also developing a culture where, you know, stylists aren't taken advantage of and they can really live a lifestyle that's fulfilling and lucrative, and how to kind of do that and setting up the next generation for success, I think is really, you know, I really care about the beauty industry, and I like knew, I'm like, I have to step into this light because, you know, I have a lot to offer, and I just want the path of our industry to go where I feel like is in the right directory of like just the capacity of where we are. And I would say the beauty industry is dominating. So why not step into that? I think a lot of people think, oh, the economy and things like that. Statistics show that the last to go in a time of economy stresses is beauty things, because people actually start pouring into self-care. They pouring into like nervous about job loss. So they're going to keep up with how they look like. And so if anything, in 2024, the beauty industry is booming. And that's not just hair world. Cosmetics, Ulta, Sephora, people are still shopping and buying. And we have a lot to offer, and we impact people in such a great way that I just like, let's go.
I love, we say that all the time. When people think about recession resistant businesses, they always want to go to dirty jobs. But one of the best performing things in any downturn is beauty. People will cut almost anything before they start box coloring their hair or doing their own nails or give up Botox. Those are things that people continue to pour into. They may give up a $20,000 trip they've been planning to go on, but those little small luxuries they'll hold on to as long as humanly possible.
Yeah. So it makes you feel good.
It does. It does. I mean, yes, I'm guilty. It makes me feel great. I definitely, it would be a cold day and you know where before I decided that I'd get a box of Clairol and call it a day. So your eyes, even when I said the word Clairol, don't worry, you're safe.
I was like, we don't know name brands. We don't say those out loud. We don't say those.
That's a swear word here. This is a clean podcast, so we better make sure we mark that. Reep. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for joining me today. Thank you for sharing your story, your path to business ownership. Really, really just from a friend and a client perspective, so proud of you for all of the things that you've accomplished. It's been great. And if you're listening to this and you like what you hear, please remember that if you don't hate us, rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on. You can follow us anywhere at FranPath. If you choose not to be a patron of this business, the best thing you can do is follow us, like, subscribe, whatever you want to do. We appreciate you. Have a great day.